this afternoon for our Bible lesson time. I have chosen it's a booklet that's actually not on the back table, but there have been some recent additions to the series that is being produced by the publisher, and have chosen the subject Anxiety and Panic Attacks, Trusting God When You're Afraid. To open this time, I wanted to incorporate a little bit of discussion about those things that make you anxious, the things that make you worry. And then secondly, I'd like you to share, if you feel comfortable, some of the how that works out in your life. What are things you go through as you experience anxiety or worry? And I'll also touch just a little bit on the subject of panic attacks as well, but we'll open it up with that idea of worry. What are some things that make you worried or fearful?
Health?
As in...
bad health.
When you are sick, or the possibility of getting grievously sick?
Possibility.
Okay. Or all of the above.
Job security.
Getting a job? Sure, yeah. Anything else?
Stepping stones in life.
Good.
Not knowing what the outcome or what's going to happen to you in the future.
Yeah.
Just uncertainty about everything.
Yeah.
Conflict.
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? Making mistakes, having made them or worried about making them, that is a common one, yeah. Let's go on. What is your life like when those worries get you down? It's a phrase we often use. The worries get you down. What's your life like when anxiety comes and is a major part of your life?
I think when things are persistent, that situation continues and it doesn't abate at all. I'm just like the psalmist. You ask, "Well, God, have you turned me away? Why have you hidden your face? Why is it like this?"
Sam?
It's hard to get anything done. Stay focused.
It can be distracting as you're consumed by that, yeah.
But easily irritable.
You can be consumed with it so that other fears or other temptations take hold and become short with one another, irritated. Yeah.
In most cases, the worry, I would say most of the time, it is way worse than what actually ends up coming. Blow everything, just kind of lock yourself in a room, and pretty soon just blow everything out of proportion because you just keep going round and round and round on it, and it's often way worse than the actual situation turns out.
Yeah. I think that is a common experience, that you get caught in a cycle where something unknown or something sets off that anxiety, and the worry makes that problem seem even bigger than it actually is. And then it becomes this vicious cycle. Now the problem's bigger and you worry more, and it just keeps going around and around like that. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
My parents told me about this one time when I was a little kid and we were visiting the more crucial thing, you know, it was one of the family day times, have it all over. And they had these little helium balloons. And they were, you know, just tied to my belt loop so it wouldn't go flying. But I was seeing balloons up on the ceiling that I didn't want to attach to me because I didn't want to float up there. So I mean, got to attach it to his belt loop.
Sometimes our worries can be irrational. It may not, well, in your mind it was attached to a reality, but it may not be an actuality.
Sometimes it's because of experiences that were really traumatic for us. And so the idea of going through a similar sort of thing can kind of get tied into knots when it looks like things are setting up similarly to previous circumstances.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Our experiences are very powerful, and if we've been through one hard experience, that can, we might not want to go through that again, and maybe rightfully so, and we can become more worried or anxious about that. We read the introduction to the booklet. I remember that these introductions give fictitious individuals so you can connect with these things. You might find yourself described here. Ryan had to figure out how to keep his boss, George, happy. George seemed to avoid him, and when Ryan did see him, George seemed irritated by everything he did. George was always asking why projects hadn't been done earlier, and then he piled on more work. With only 2 months until Christmas, Ryan couldn't afford to lose his job. He thought, how will Cheryl and I be able to afford Christmas presents? Without my job, we would certainly lose our house. How would Cheryl and the kids handle that? Would my marriage even survive? You can see how the worry there starts to spiral. Now, Ryan couldn't let that happen. He had to keep this job. He frantically reviewed all his work, rereading every email his boss had sent him during the past month. He spent the rest of the day trying to work and worrying about everything that could be wrong. What if my boss isn't happy with the reports I prepared for the big meeting last week? What if I made a calculation error? What if I end up costing the company thousands of dollars because of my mistake? What if the mistake gets me fired? When he got home at the end of the day, he was exhausted. His head was killing him. His muscles were tight, and he could barely focus at supper with his family. Cheryl asked him what was wrong, but all he said was that he'd had a hard day at work. His mind was spinning with anxiety, and he wondered how much more stress he could take. Trying to keep his impossible-to-please boss happy was pushing him to the edge. Here's a second example. Mia swallowed the lump in her throat and braced herself. She knew what was coming next. She had learned how to handle these episodes at home alone, but now she was in the middle of the grocery store. Her heart was beginning to race, and she was having difficulty breathing. Her mind was racing too, plus her vision was getting blurry. She tried to push her cart quickly to the checkout and get out of the store before things got worse. But the longer she walked, the more she felt like the world was closing in on her. She was so afraid, and she didn't even know why. She felt lightheaded. Her heart was pounding, and her fingers and toes were starting to tingle. She wondered if she was dying or getting ready to have a heart attack or going insane. She knew she wasn't going to make it through the checkout, so she ran to the back of the grocery store as quickly as she could. She could barely breathe now, and she was seeing stars. She could not feel her hands or feet, and she knew that in about 3 seconds she was going to start throwing up. She made it to the bathroom just in time. Afterwards, she sat on the floor, laid her head on her arms, and cried. She wondered, what is wrong with me? Why am I such a mess? What am I so worked up about? She sat there crying for 15 minutes, then slowly got up, left her cart, dragged herself to her car, and drove home. Once home, she crawled into bed and slept for 3 hours. She could not keep living this way. But how could she control her feelings of panic? I chose this topic today for a couple of reasons. One is that it's a common ailment or a common experience for us to worry. The Bible is actually full of references that have to do with anxiety and with worry. It makes it very clear that it's a common experience for us. Secondly, it's actually an increased phenomena or an increased experience during the holiday seasons. I read lots of different things in the counseling realm, and each year there's a reminder that while Thanksgiving and Christmas are full of very joyful things, that there is a marked increase in the anxiety that counselors encounter, or the opportunity to counsel those who suffer anxiety. So, with those things in mind, I decided that this would be a good subject. And you might think it's strange that how could the holidays have be a time of anxiety. But I, unless you're still less than 10 years old, you probably know that the holidays have some anxiety with them. Let me also start by acknowledging that in this case and the case of other things we often term psychological, like depression, that there's often a physiological aspect to panic attacks and to even some level of anxiety. That's because the mind that God has given to us is an organ of the physical body, and as such it can be afflicted with ailment, with sickness. But along with physical ailment, any sickness will also have a spiritual element as well. And it's my intention today to especially look at the spiritual element. Just as an illustration of the combination between physical and spiritual, I want to just relate to you an example that another author gives, a man named Ed Welch. In a book that he has called Blame It on the Brain, he describes how a person can break their arm. You know what that is. It's very easily identified as something broken in your body. When that happens, there's pain, there's discomfort. You go to the doctor and the doctor treats the broken arm. When you break your arm, though, there can also be attached to that spiritual experiences. The pain can cause you to become frustrated. You can become irritated with others. It can be an occasion for fears, for doubts, for anger. The physiological and the spiritual are worked together. And the same is true with many of these items that we talk about in the psychological realm, where there are aspects of the brain that can manifest themselves that have a physiological origin to them or component to them, but also a spiritual component to them. In the case of anxiety and panic, the author of this little booklet, Jocelyn Wallace, has described briefly in it how God has given the human body and the mind a defense mechanism. She puts it this way. She says, in the event that a dangerous situation crosses our path, our bodies are designed to assess the situation and become ready almost immediately to fight off or to run away from danger. The average, normally functioning human body can be stimulated by the nervous system to become ready to handle an emergency in just seconds. Maybe you've experienced this when you're driving down the street and all of a sudden from a side street a car doesn't stop at the stop sign and goes barreling through the intersection and you slam on the brakes. What does your body feel after that? You're kind of short of breath, or your senses are on edge. Your adrenaline has kicked in a sense, protect you from that dangerous situation. Worry is often attached to a dangerous situation. It has a physiological and a spiritual component to it. The author goes on to define a panic attack, which happened in the case of Mia that I read here in the booklet. She describes a panic attack as a discrete period of intense fear or discomfort in which four or more of the following symptoms develop abruptly and reach a peak within 10 minutes. Symptoms like palpitations, pounding heart or accelerated heart rate, sweating, trembling or shaking, sensations of shortness of breath or smothering, feeling of choking, chest pain or discomfort, nausea or abdominal distress, feeling dizzy, unsteady, lightheaded or faint, derealization, which he means feeling of unreality, or depersonalization, which by which she means being detached from oneself. Fear of losing control or going crazy, fear of dying, numbness or tingling sensations, chills or hot flashes. Those are some ways in which she describes a panic attack or the body taking over to protect itself. I mention this to say that if you experience panic attacks, these uncontrolled, maybe to you even unlooked for, or you don't know exactly what's connecting them to worry, if you experience panic attacks, you should consider seeking out a doctor to consider the physiological aspects that those panic attacks might have. But I would also encourage you to consider the spiritual elements of anxiety. And that's going to be my focus today and the next week and maybe a couple of weeks now that I see my time today. Because there is a spiritual aspect to anxiety that we need to consider. And I want you to understand the physiological side to things, but I'm not a doctor, and so I'm going to concentrate on the spiritual side of things where the Bible does speak and gives us much help, because biblical answers for everyday problems. For today, let me give three different verses as an example of the Bible speaking to the subject of worry or anxiety, to show that the Bible understands this human condition and even describes it in ways that you've described this morning. We'll ask for volunteers for a couple of these verses. Proverbs 12:25. Sam? Psalm 94:19. Adam? And Psalm 139:23. Hannah? Let's start at Proverbs 12:25.
Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad.
Well, let's go ahead and read these other verses. I'll make a few comments. Psalm 94:19.
When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul.
And Psalm 139:23. Those verses describe a heart that is weighed down or worries that are multiplying. Some of the descriptions that you've already given of your own experiences mirror that. There's a time of feeling crushed by a weight that is so heavy that you can't bear it, and it's getting heavier by the second. The example that was given in the book, Ryan couldn't figure out how to please his boss, and it seemed to get out of control. And Mia was overcome by worry, and it sparked into this into a panic attack. It seems that anxiety is most often attached to two aspects of things that are unknown, or things that are outside of our control, or fear over what the future holds. Again, mirroring your own experiences and the expressions that you have given to those. As you think about those things in the coming week, I'd like you to assess your own sense of what it is that makes you worry, and to think of them in the categories of feeling lack of control or the unknown or fear of what the future holds. I think what we'll find and what scriptures will go on to show us is that we often try to take matters into our own hands or to solve our problems in our own strengths. In other words, we try to be God. But we are not all-knowing, and we are not all-powerful. And because of that, our attempts to control that future or solve that problem will often very quickly spiral outside of our ability. Other times, we will fall into the temptation of thinking, as Randy described very well, that God has forgotten me. Or that God can't do something about this. Or that God doesn't care, either for you in general, or sometimes you can come to the conclusion that God is not good. It's another subtle way of saying that God can't or won't take care of me. I can only trust myself. I think you'll begin to see some already leading ways as you diagnose anxiety from the Bible, that the Bible will also lead you step by step to confront worry with the assertions of God's greatness and His goodness. I'll leave that for next week. You might say that one of the answers to anxiety is good theology. So what you believe about God means something. This is going to get very practical with worry. So over this next week, think about the connection between what you believe about God and your personal worries, and begin to think through those scriptures that have helped you to trust who God is and what He has promised. Henry, are you raising your hand? Yeah.
There are a couple things I'd thought I'd add to this. I think the verse Sam was reading, talks about good words and all that. I think one thing we should realize is it's not just the person who's having anxiety that has a certain responsibility in that situation. It's those around have a certain responsibility in encouraging, in giving those words of encouragement or the presence. The other thing, you mentioned, you know, some of the physiological factors. And when I was hearing that store and panic attack, I immediately thought of toxic overload. You know, I'm very much aware of environmental illness, and that's on the rise. And one of the things that can do is create psychological factors, you know, it's all connected, body and mind. Someone who's toxically overloaded goes into a store or just amongst a whole bunch of people with their laundry detergents, you know, on their clothes or their perfumes, and it can overwhelm them and mess up the chemistry of their brain. And
thank you. There's a physiological element that ought to be considered in these things, and as I'll be emphasizing the spiritual side, don't forget that physiological side too. And I appreciate your comment about being a helper to those who are anxious or experiencing this, and we'll come back to that, and we'll keep in mind being an encouragement to others, to do that with the gentleness of spirit to help out our brothers and sisters as they experience anxiety. Any other questions or comments this morning, this afternoon? Yeah, Stephanie.
Just a couple that maybe you will be able to cover in later weeks. But one is, how do you address this in small children who deal with fear?
Sitting very close to
it. It's constant. Go upstairs. Anyone else? I mean, she's afraid in her own home. She can't sleep through the night. And I don't know how to address this with a small child who can't maybe reason out the Bible.
Completely.
And then another is just, I think there's a fine line between what is our responsibility, because we do a lot of telling us that we need to be responsible individuals, and a good Christian is responsible for their actions and works hard and doesn't point fingers at other people, and that can maybe increase levels of, well, this is my responsibility, I have to do this, I have to do this well, otherwise I'm not being a biblical wife or mother. So just how to address those things.
Expectations can be a source of worry or anxiety too, can't they? Yeah. I'll jot those down, and the one about children is one that that we know too, so I'll try to treat that too. Anything else? Let's bow together in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, the cares of our hearts are many, and our thoughts oftentimes whirl around because of our own worries. We pray, Lord, that you would be leading us to those quiet places, those green pastures and still waters that belong to you as our good shepherd. And pray, God, that you would be helping us to understand who you are and your promises towards us, and to understand the worries that we face, the expectations that are on us, the fears of the future that may set on us, and to approach those in a way that brings them to you. God, calm our anxiety in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.